Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Paula Price Show, where you can experience revelatory teaching, get answers to your questions, and receive powerful prayer. Tune in now and get ready for an exciting time of encouragement and transformation. Welcome your host, Dr. Paula Price.
Well, hello, hello, and hello. It is Tuesday night. That means that it's ABCs of Apostleship night, and tonight we're going to disciple some apostolic Christians. A lot has happened since we last visited, so before I get started, let me say hello, Periscope family, and we are family, and hello, Blog Talk family, because we are family, and now hello, Facebook family. We are family. I always say family because that's what we are. You know, we say it theologically. We may even say it traditionally. But when you finish reading your book, The ABCs of Apostleship, which some of you have already been ordering it, ABCs of Apostleship, Discipling Apostolic Christians, Book 2. When you read it, there's a whole section on the Christian genus, our genetic line in the Godhead. And so I'm excited about that. I would love for you all to read it and then write me some stuff, you know, and, you know, try to write nice. Hallelujah. But let me know what you think about it because it's powerful. Now, we've been getting people from all over the world. I've been excited. I like to say hello to the people we got last time. If you're still with us from Moscow or in Syria and, you know, Ghana, I say I remember stuff, you know. I remember a lot of things, so I just want you to know that I thank God for you. Continue to spread the word. We are growing, guys. We are growing, and we're growing fast, and I've been mandating growth. Okay, they tell me I got Trinidad. Hi, Trinidad. You know, I'm trying to get to them islands, guys. I try to tell you. You know, I'm trying to get to some of those islands that the Lord has, and, of course, you know, New York City, which is my neck of the woods. You know, I'm a Jersey girl, in case you all did not know. I am a Jersey girl, and so I'm sitting there looking at her. She's writing some more. I got Arkansas checking in. Well, you are just over the water, so you know I'm thrilled. I can probably hop over there in Texas. My God. You know what I like about Texas most of all is the highways. They got the nicest little highways, boy, I tell you. Well, the food's pretty good, too. But anyway, I appreciate that. And who was this last one? North Carolina. All right, so I know we got 50 states and probably 193 nations. So I might not get to all of you all tonight, but I want to tell you thank you. I need you. Hear this. I need you. I need your faith. I need your prayers. I need you passing this along. I need you. You know, so many times you all are needed for other things, but I need you. I need you on every week because I feel your presence. I feel your encouragement and affirmation. So you are doing a lot to help me get this thing where I am, where I'm going. So now as we're checking in finally with California and Pennsylvania, Tennessee. Yeah, I got a daughter in Tennessee. So, you know, I get over there every now and again. Now, I have one more thing to say. I told you we are family. I take that seriously. And what I like to do is bless the family of God every way I can. Some of you already know I'm here every week, you know, and I don't ever stop. So I had one of my daughters send me some tea from her brand new business, and she told me I was supposed to have a tea bag in the cup. Didn't get the tea bag in the cup. I forgot. My staff said we're not going to have the tea bag hanging over the cup. My armor bearer wasn't having it, so just understand I'm sipping this tea, bless the Lord, without the bag. Hallelujah. And it's some great tea. I thank God for you. I like to bless your enterprises. I like to bless your businesses. I like to bless your prosperity. I believe in that. I believe in it, and I thank God for it, and I thank God for you. So we'll keep pushing together, and you know what? If we all keep pushing one another to success and pushing one another to victory, we're going to have a breakthrough. So, again, we're talking about discipling apostolic Christians. Those of you who are new to this and just coming on board, let me give you just a flash recap. We are talking about apostolic Christians being those that literally populated the early church. The book tells you about everything, all Christianity starting apostolic. All Christians are apostolic at root. It's kind of like saying we're all humans with different nationalities. We're all humans from different backgrounds, but we're all human beings. So we're all Christians. If you are born again in the Lord Jesus Christ, if you're born again by the word of God, if you're born again, born from above, then, you know, we are all apostolic. We all began that way. Why? Because the church was birthed by apostles. The Old Testament was closed out by apostles. You know, a lot of people don't know that, that the apostles that we are basing all of most of our rules on, especially the rules that say apostles shouldn't be anymore, they actually closed out the Old Testament. If we had an Old Testament. I personally don't believe in the separation of testaments, especially if you're a prophet or an apostle. A prophet or an apostle cannot believe in an Old and New Testament. Cannot happen. Because there are a lot of there's a lot of prophecies in the quote-unquote Old Testament that have yet to be fulfilled. So if we don't believe in the Old Testament, then the prophets cannot help God bring that word to pass because they can't declare it in their generations. So I flat out believe, and I've said it before, and I'll continue to say it, there is, for a prophet, for an apostle, no such thing as testament divisions. Those are historical markers, perhaps. Some of them say that they're historical markers. Others say they're just organizational markers. But there's no such thing as Old and New Testament. God started out with one nation, and then he made himself known through one nation, the nation of Israel. And before there was an Israel, God started out. Before there was an Israel. You know, we often act like God didn't start until Israel was born, like Jesus, like, you know, Jesus didn't have a life until he incarnated. No, God gave his covenant to Abraham first. And before that, to be honest with you, he gave it to Noah. And before Noah, he gave it to Seth. And before Seth, he gave it to Enoch. And before Enoch, he gave it to a woman. I like to do that every now and then, just to rattle a few cages. Do I hear any cages rattling here? I think I hear some chains rattling somewhere. So the covenant started with a woman. And it said, the seed of a woman, hallelujah, will bruise your head, even though you will crush your head, even though you will bruise his heel. So I know we have, you know, because if this thing goes all the way back, we always remember the fact that God, you know, judge females, but he also judged Adam first. But he did make a put a hope because God needs everything he made. The problem that we have to come to terms with is God has no issue with his creation. God thinks he did a great job. He's still getting glory. He said, I did a great job. I know I did a great job. He did a great job from two people. That I always, when I sit with my prophets and we have these amazing God moments, you know, my prophets and I sit around the table. And one day we're going to record that for you guys. Let us know if you think that's a great idea. But we have this amazing God sessions. We sit around the table doing what I call prophetic chatter. And we sit around and we start nailing. And it always stuns us that God only needed one specimen, a male and a female version of the same specimen. And he's still making people. He has not come back again, gone to any clay. He hasn't done any of those things, and he's still making people. Oh, our God is awesome. And so, I mean, think about that. You know, we can't even get – nothing we do can reproduce itself like that. If we decide to clone, we're going to clone up to the last point of life, not back to the seed. Our God is an awesome God. And we who are Christians are born from his actual gene pool. Oh, somebody get excited. Come and get excited with me. I'm telling you, that's what's in this book. It's right in here. Yeah, I'm going to get excited. You know why? Because this is an awesome story, and it's unfortunate that they stopped preaching the Bible for you to find out how awesome you really are. You are amazing. We are something that never existed before. Can you believe that? That's amazing. Yeah, I'm excited. We were born again by the all-wise God. I got his mind. I got his heart. I got his soul. I got his love. I got his affection. And guess what? I got some of his stuff, too. Because he's a good father. He's a great God. So every time you do this, when you're dealing with an apostle, I'm just going to say an apostle and be very general in this, you have to hear the gospel. You have got to keep getting your identity from that apostle, and that apostle and that prophet has got to continue. Oh, somebody get excited with me. Has got to continue to remind you of who God is. The reason that we're afraid today is because we have not heard enough about who God is. We've heard about what your issues are, what you're picking up your sword, who's sleeping with this one, who fell with that one, who took off their clothes, who tatted their butt. We're hearing all of that kind of crazy, and we don't know who our God is. So we are people who are suffering from identity loss. You will only have an inferiority complex when you have a lost identity. Because when you know who you are, there's a strength in knowing who you are. There's a strength that comes from knowing where you came from and how you got started. There's a power in your identity. People always ask me, Dr. Price, why are you so strong? I'm strong because I know who I am. And I also know the one who made me. I'm up close and personal with the Almighty. I do not have to worry about fasting 3 days, 45 days for this man to say something to me. We wake up in the morning talking. I go to sleep at night talking about, good night, sweetheart. I love you. I thank you, beloved sleep. Yes, I do. I praise him all night long. When I roll over, you know, you get a little restless. I roll over, thank you, Jesus. Lord, you are such a sugar. You know, I got to call my sugar. He's my honey. So I don't have an identity crisis. Because I'm too busy loving up the Christ. It's very easy for me to do this. I don't do this for show. My team will tell you I act like this in my kitchen chopping up onions. Shouting, okay, come on, Jesus. You know you're all right. Why? Because I don't need all of that accoutrements to have a real interaction with the Lord. And that's what I want to impart to you. I'm looking for you to get that. Why am I giving you this kind of information? Because when you begin to tap into somebody's greatness, that greatness rubs off on you. That thing begins to permeate your being. Your psyche is changed. Your consciousness is changed. I'm telling you, the man called Jesus Christ is awesome. He's an amazing man. And his world is awesome. His world is phenomenal. Now, I'm going to say this, and I'm going to get right to my slides because I got some good stuff to share with you tonight, and I don't want to miss it. But let me tell you something. Think about it. We say things so casually because we've heard this word so much. We think we've heard all there is to know. We haven't. The Bible has more books written about it than any other book in the world, in all languages, all tongues. And you know what? We're still trying to figure out what? We read a new book, get us one little piece of revelation, that's going to keep us for 15 years. God comes back, gives us another piece of revelation, keeps us a little longer. But let me tell you something. Tell you about the Apostle Paul. Paul has this account. I don't really call them stories because they're account. They're actual events that happen in God's life and in ours. So Paul has this account, and we like to talk about how Paul was caught up to the third heaven, all right? Come on, and listen, if you haven't told your friends, come on, go tell them because they're going to like this. This is going to be juicy, really good tonight, so text somebody and drop them a line and, you know, send a can and a string, something, let them know that I'm on. But, so Paul talks about this. What we don't realize, and when he came back, he said, you know, I saw things that are unlawful to utter and all of that. When he came back, what we don't realize is Paul went to God's world. That was, I want to say at least a billion times, if not a trillion times, better than this one. And he came back to his world with no energy, no power, no light, no cars, talking about lanterns, torches, and candles. And he came back, he could write that thing because God took him into his world and showed him life as the Creator lives it. Life in the civilization, not just his life. He didn't just go and see God. He started talking about, can you imagine? Now, we have Ezekiel talking about these wheels in the middle of a wheel and these creatures that are flying around. Can you imagine when he came back home talking about, I got to get on the donkey, go clonk, 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 clonk. After looking at them whizzing through the air, flying all over the place. See, we don't read that thing the way it really happened. We're too busy reading it as people who are resisting. We're so, oh, my God, how do I go to a Bible church? Oh, my God, they're going to read three scriptures. Oh, Lord, I'm not going to make it. Help me, God. Then you can tell when you're in that kind of a church because everybody got a piece of candy that's got noisy wrappers. And you will start hearing when the word is going on because the noisy wrappers are going to be open. People will start opening the candy, and then they're starting to chew the gum and carrying on. You can tell that they have not cracked the seal on God, but he's not cracked the seal on their consciousness and their ability to grasp him. Think about it. I mean, we were doing a drama right now, and you could talk about Paul, and Paul is sitting there, and all of a sudden he's up there with God. He's looking at Jesus do Jesus. Now, he's looked at Jesus doing his job, ruling his world. And so that's why he can come back and say, you guys got nothing. You got nothing. You know nothing. And trust me, you're not doing much of nothing, because where I just come from, it is so different. And so he prophesied. When Jesus came talking about light and light of the world, he wasn't just talking about intellectual knowledge, spiritual enlightenment. He was also saying, in about a minute, I'm going to send the power source back into the planet. You see, oh, come on, somebody hear me. We understand Satan would have put on light if he could have put on light, but he didn't have the power source, because that came with Pentecost. That came with the Holy Ghost. So he didn't just light us up. Jesus kept saying, I'm the light of the world. We're the power source. And when you read Revelation, when the sun and moon are gone, I said, when the sun and moon are gone, it said they don't have a need of the sun, have no need of the moon, because the Lord and his Christ are the light. And by the way, and they have darkness there. So people, no. We need to get back in the word of truth, and we need to get into it truly. And we need to stop telling people it's real okay if they can get down three passages of scriptures a day or four verses. Shame on us when we are so full. We are walking and talking the fullness of the Godhead bodily, the Almighty God, and we are walking around acting like he's there, keeping him as a little seed. We're making princes out of devils and keeping Jesus a seed. Oh, hallelujah. Okay, I'm going to behave myself. Okay, all right, come on. All right, come on. Y'all pray for me. Pray me back. I'm going to behave myself. No, I'm not. Let me tell you. We're walking around talking about devils and principalities, and Jesus Christ is a little seed. You're making an imp out of the Messiah and a prince out of his adversary. We have to switch this. And you know why? Because we bought into identity lost. We allowed them to stop preaching our Bible to us, and then we got people who didn't want to learn it, and we fell into identity lost. And so the church, you want to say, well, what is wrong with the church today? Identity lost. Wandering in this world full of power, full of light, full of revelation, full of potential, and talking about who am I? Let me tell you something. If we read that Bible right, nobody has to write another purpose book, because it will mushroom in you. And when we teach that thing the way God wrote it and deliver it for the reasons that he gave it, not just to castigate people, to embarrass folks, to rebuke and whatever. I used to have a member in my church, in the early church, that I had, one of the first ones, and she used to punish her children by making them read the Bible. I had a fit. I cut up. When I tell you I cut up, I lost it. I said, hold on. You will not use Jesus as a cudgel to take the place of your parenting. You want them to be punished, you tell them to read something else, but not the scriptures, not the scriptures that was going to save their soul. How are you going to punish the kids with the Bible? You're going to punish the kids with Jesus Christ, and then you're going to wonder why they don't want to go to church. That's a punishment. Oh, somebody going to hear what I'm saying. You know I'm saying it right. I don't know who you are. Stop that. Stop punishing your kids with the Lord Jesus Christ. He's their Savior. He's their refuge. He's their Redeemer. Don't make it difficult for them to come to him and trust him. All right, I'm going to the screen now. I'm behaving. Hallelujah. Prophet Ashley, I'm going to go to the screen. You know, I'm so loaded, I don't know what to do with myself. Hallelujah. Let me find a button. I'm doing good. Am I holding fast? I'm holding fast. Tell somebody she's going to hold on. Woo, there are days, you know, you can tell the days I had amazing prayer. So, you know, I just had these last 3 days, me, Jesus and I have been really floating. Well, he floats, I just hang out. But anyhow, we have been really floating. And when I do, the man just, because the man, he wants to talk about himself. He wants to tell me about himself. I want to hear. I want to listen. He's got a lot to say. I mean, he's been around forever, so I'm thinking he's probably never going to run out of conversation. And since my mind is finite and his mind is infinite, I'm probably never going to be able to get bored, because he's going to trick me up after 3 sentences. There are sometimes God start telling me about himself, I just pass out. I'm like Daniel, I'm out. He's got, the Lord got to come and say, come back, Paul, come back. Hallelujah. Yes, I'm out, but I love him. He's a good God. So, on the screen, do we have something on the screen? All right, I'm going to read this. You know, I have such a great time with you all. And so I want to talk about, well, let's get some, I'm getting a little animations going here. I'm going to show off. I did some clicks and buttons. All right, ready? Get set? Now, don't miss me now. All right. Story of redemption. Apostles unravel the mystery of Jesus Christ's salvation. Read all about it. Remember we used to say, well, I'm stating myself because y'all generation don't know. You don't have the clue. And so 1 Corinthians 4:1, let a man so account us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mystery of God. Now, steward, look at, if you want to really get wrap your head around what that means, I want you to do me a favor. Do yourself a favor. Go and look up the word, not just look up the definitions, but also look at all the synonyms. And you're going to see a work description. People were picking me all the time. You know, first of all, they always try to make me feel dumb because I'm smart and I want to be smart. And I'm thinking, that's lost cause. Lost cause. You know, well, I don't understand why you got to be deep. Because, babe, what are you saying? I don't understand why you got to be shallow. You understand there is an opposite to the things that we say. You know, I don't go to that church because they deep. Yeah, because I want to be at the shallow church. Because I'm a shallow Christian, and I want to stay with shallow Christians because I want to swim in the shallow side of God. Come on, people. Think about what we're saying here. There are so many things that that the enemy has programmed us to say to keep us out of the wisdom of the Almighty. I said, are you kidding me? Yeah, I'm going to be deep. My Bible says deep calls unto deep. That's what my Bible says. Anybody out here can say that? Does your Bible say that? But come on, I'm serious now. I'm asking you a question. Does your Bible say deep calls to deep? So if God is calling you, he's deep, and he's calling you to, well, the deep. Oh, hallelujah. So when we talk about apostolic Christians, I want to talk to you about the three R's of apostolic Christianity. I have quite a little bit, so roll with me. Get your pen, and don't forget, go back and re-listen. And I like the Facebook people because it doesn't go away. You know, Periscope goes away. But Facebook doesn't go away, so you can use this for your classes this week. You can use it for training your prophets, your apostles, and your ministers, and elders, and leaders, and intercessors, and whatever else we got that's named in the name of Christ. Or not. Anyway, so the three R's, righteousness, responsibility, and rationality. Righteousness, responsibility, and rationality. Now, why am I saying? Because God wants you to understand that there is a side of Christianity that we have to honor. It says it becomes us to fulfill all righteousness. That God talks about righteousness all the time. We are running around talking about what's wrong with the church. Let's start with what's wrong with the leadership. We have redefined righteousness by shutting your Bible and defining it according to people's passions and their emotions. But God is a righteous God. Now, what is righteousness? Let me say something that's going to really be a little bit stunning to you. God does not have a morality. Morality does not belong in God's language. Morality is our language. God's language is righteousness. I looked and I looked. Now, why am I saying that? Because God's creation was based on what God did right, not what people approved of him doing. Oh, somebody better hear that. I know that was shout time. I want to get up right now and do a jig myself. Because, see, God's creation is programmed for his righteousness. It's coded for his righteousness, which is why there are certain consequences that no human hand can provoke, and yet they happen. Morality is a human thing, and when you look up morality, they tell you it's the norm and it's what's approved of a particular culture or people. God's righteousness is not predicated on people. God's righteousness is based on God. God's like, I'm good. I'm right. I'm good. You know, God's the one that said, I'm going to judge you, and I'm right. And you can say, but Lord, you don't get it. I'm right. I'm right no matter what. And when we talk about, when you go back and read one of my favorite passages of Scripture, which is Isaiah 11:5, it talks about God's righteousness and that we don't judge according to the seeing of our eyes or the hearing of our ears. We judge according to God's code of righteousness. So so we have a leader that falls into sin, and everybody jumps on the bandwagon to help the leader and vilify God. Yeah, I knew that was going to go real good. So we're going to make God the villain because so-and-so couldn't live up to his code. So what we do with so-and-so is we say, that's the right man. I know the Lord is with you. What Lord? See, when people say somebody's a man of God and they living in mess, I need to find out what God we're talking about. I'm going to ask the question, so what God are we talking about? Because I do not want to celebrate your God. Because you might be serving a God that I declined to work for. See, I declined to work for. See, so I work for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I work for him in all he is. You know, when I pray to God, you know what I say, Jesus, I want you. And I want your word and your truth on your terms, the way you live them. Now, that's a problem. Well, you can't do it if you don't know what the man said. Responsibility. Apostolic Christians are hot on responsibility, which is why you get really tense when you start seeing people start shifting God's righteousness to something else. You believe in being responsible to the Lord and accountable to the Lord. You know, some of you all are more responsible to your jobs than you are to the Lord's righteousness. You wouldn't take anything off your job, and you wouldn't dare do anything to cause your job to be jeopardized, but yet we do all this stuff to God. God has no morality. Like when they talk about, you know, the legal system always talks about, but that's moral law. That's not God's law. It's not moral. It's righteous, which is why you don't have to do anything to get an STD but have sex. That's not a human being. That's a righteous code. That's a code that's already active. And God's judicial system has invisible agents that must see to it, because here's why. Come on, somebody, get with me. Come on, get on the edge of your seat with me, because this is really good. This is really good. They have to see to it because it is their job to see to it that the planet is around for the next generation. It's already marked that we die and another generation comes. So they have to make sure that this thing doesn't self-destruct until the Almighty is ready, and that it self-destructs the way he planned, and that those that he wants to save are preserved in that. Come on, did you get it? Was that good or what? See, this is bigger than us, folks. We brought it down to our church. We brought it down to what we feel. We brought it down to what we like. We brought it down to what we approve of. God could care less. God said, my kingdom rules over all. And he said something. He said, you know, God gets, you know, God's pretty tough. He's a pretty tough guy. And so let me tell you, God was said, he said, and then he said, but how are you going to correct me when you can't keep yourself alive? You realize that none of us wanted to get old, but we got old anyway. You know, you realize that even atheists get old. Because the codes are working without our permission. They don't care about our permission. Oh, come on, somebody. And rationality. God is wisdom. God, there are a lot of things that God lets slide, not because he approves, but because he's protecting something else that's going on. Do you realize that there are a lot of people that God leaves on the planet because they're going to have children that God can use? Oh, somebody. You know that's good. That's sugar pie, Jesus, good. Yes, it is. Okay, I'm back. I'm calm down. God has a rationality that works for him. Do you realize that the bomber you killed today could be the savior that God wants to use in 20 years? So that's why he puts up with mess. That's why he turns his head. That's why he indulges, because he's looking down the line all the way down to the sperm and the egg that's carrying something that he wants. Come on, people, it's grow up time. That's apostolic Christian talk. That's how we think. We don't look at that which is seen. We look at that which is unseen. And you don't always see what's in those sperms and eggs, but God does. You can have a person who's the most horrible person we have, and then they turn around, have a one-night stand. You know, God just keep them around just for that little one-night stand, because, you know, you can't get nothing righteous out of sinners anyhow. So one-night stand, and that one-night stand, he gets a kid, and it's the kid that he wants to change the world. Now, am I proven of one-night stands? Oh, no, please don't go, because, you know, y'all be misrepresenting stuff and misquoting. I look on Facebook, and that stuff is in a whole other tongue. Don't know what I said. Don't say that. But I'm trying to give you the wisdom of the Almighty that, you know, because, see, we make rules and laws as people who have to be victims of them. We don't make rules and laws as the people who have to keep something going. God's got to keep this thing going until the appointed time, and therefore he has to keep populating the planet. He has to keep people busy. I said to God one day, well, God, I don't know why you're using so-and-so. He said, they're on my planet. I said, huh? He said, Paula, they're on my planet. He said, you know what that means? I have to have something for somebody to do every day, 365 days for 70, 80, and 90 years. That is my job. I've got to keep them busy. You can ignore them. I can't. You can blow them off. I can't. I have to keep them busy and keep them reasonably healthy and reasonably productive. Oh, come on. Think like somebody who's apostolic. See, that's a, those mysteries came through the apostles. They came through the prophets. That's why you're not getting rich word like that any longer, because those mysteries come from God, and you have to shift how you think. We have to come and come off of this salvation only. That's why you forgiving folk that you feel like because you forgave somebody, God ought to keep using them. No, no. When you forgive people, then God told you to forgive, but he said, I'm going to do what I need to do, because God's got to keep things going. Your forgiveness does not guarantee a retention of God. Your boss may forgive you because you had a problem and stole some money, but guess what? We do have to let you go. Now, born again, three B's of apostolic Christianity. Born again, baptized, fire and water, and balance. Rationality, balance. Apostolic Christians are balanced. You will hear it in their voice. You will see it in their demeanor. I can walk in a church and tell you how many of them there are just by how they behave, how they handle the sermon, how they handle the world. This kind of flaky, run all over the place, leap backwards and swing from the rafters, because apostolic Christians want to know what you're saying. Wait a minute, hold on, wait a minute. I don't know if I agree with that or not. Hold on, wait a minute. Let me hear you. No. And let me tell you something. We're good at withholding judgment until we've gotten figured it out. Why? Because we also know the power of our words and the power of our thoughts. You know, God told Jeremiah in Jeremiah 6, he said, but I'm going to give them the fruit of their thoughts. Oh, that's so good. But then you got to stop thinking there's an Old and New Testament and just recognize that there's a Bible. Now, oh, Jesus, I'm just so excited. So let's talk about balancing Christianity. There's a passage in 2 Samuel chapter 7 where David wants to build God a house. David loves God, and he has fallen in love with him because, let me tell you, when you really want to love God, you don't have a problem doing ministry. You don't have a problem giving of your life. You don't have, because when you love somebody else, you don't have a problem. You realize you fall in love, you start giving out everything, open up purses, carrying all boxes, treasury, CDs, investments, all of that. So when you really love God, he said, where your heart is, there's your treasure. So when you really love God, he doesn't have to beg you to do anything. You got to, listen, you be begging him for strength to do more for him. I do it all the time. Okay, Jesus, I mean, come on, I got to finish this for you, sweetheart. Can I get some more strength? I'm sleepy, keep me awake, whatever. So there's a balance. So David wanted to build God this house. And so God says, you know what? It's really wonderful that you want to do that, David. It's really great. I can't let you do it. I've already assigned that task to somebody else, and you've done your part. You've shed much blood, et cetera, you know. And so God says, but I'm going to, he said, but because you want to do something big for me, even though you are not, I cannot allow you to do it, let me tell you what I'm going to do. You are carrying something in your body. See, somebody got to hear this. You're carrying something in your body called the seed of Christ. And so he's coming through your line. He's coming through the kingly line of Judah. And when he comes, he's going to build me a house. Now, so Solomon built the physical house, but Solomon's house didn't last forever, so we had to know that somebody was coming who was going to build a forever kingdom. And then God says there in that passage, he says, because of 2 Samuel 7:12-15, he said, I will be a father to him. Listen to me, people, because see, you got to understand your God. Those who know their God will be strong and do great exploits. Strength comes from knowing God, not from pushing him off. And so he says here, he said, I will be a father to him, and he will be a son for me, whom I will punish when he does wrong with the rod of men and with the blows of human beings. Now, there's another way of saying it, and I'm going to read that too. He says, he shall build a house for my name, and I shall establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I shall be a father to him, and he shall be a son to me. When he sins, then I will chasten him with the rod of men and with the strokes of the sons of men. This whole idea that God loves people's anointing so much he's not going to judge them is crazy. God says, my name is blasphemed among the Gentiles all day long because of you. Freaks, what does that mean? They're making jokes. Look at late night television. They're joking about Jesus Christ. They're joking about God. They're joking about Christianity. They're joking all day long. They're talking about him. Take pain, etc. They do all of that because we have belittled God ourselves, so we have authorized the world to belittle him. We have literally authorized, because he said, whosoever sins you retain or return, whoever sins you remit or remit. We literally authorized the world to mistreat our God. He gave us the entire planet. Christianity took the planet, and you know what? This is how we repay him. Here's what we have to learn to do. We have to learn to balance redemption and righteousness. Yes, God will always redeem. You know, when God fired Saul, he never told him he couldn't be an Israelite any longer. You won't be Israeli any longer. You're just not going to be my king. And when he fired him, he didn't just fire Saul. He fired Saul's seed. There are some things you can do that will change the destiny of the very seed you're carrying. So he fired Saul's seed and therefore took the royal line of kingship from Saul and gave it to Jeroboam, who hated him. He took it from Saul. He passed it on. He gave it to David. David goes and his son kicks up. We get it to, we give it to, because Saul was Benjamin, David was Judah. And then Solomon messes up. It goes from Solomon to Jeroboam, an Ephraimite. See, we don't pay attention. We think we know how God thinks. And he keeps, so there are things you can do that will wreck the destiny of your seed. God may have let David keep Bathsheba, but he never mentioned her name again. God never got over Bathsheba. He kept on rolling with David, but he never did. When you read Matthew, this is how he refers to her. He refers to her as her. Now, we talk about he calls Rahab by name. Come on, he even called Jezebel by name. But he was so ticked off with Bathsheba, he calls her who had been the wife of Uriah. So I don't just read this thing to feel good, get the warm fuzzies. I read it to figure out this man's mind. I need to know how God rules. I need to know how God judges. I need to know why he does what he does. Why does he call the shots he calls? Why does he make the decisions he makes? Because when God does things, it takes a while for it to get on down here in the spirit realm. So we assume God's not doing it. And then you turn around 15 years on, that was a good man of God. I don't know why the Lord took him. Well, you don't know how good they were at all. You weren't with him 24/7. God was. Before you begin to vilify God for what's going on in people's lives, you need to make sure God opened up the records to you. We have to know the difference between redemption and righteousness. God is righteous whether he loves us or don't. If he keeps us here to 110 or takes us 10 minutes after we're gone, he feels it's a good thing because he's dealing with the whole package. He's got all the information before him. Oh, somebody's going to get it. We have to know the difference in Christianity, salvation and sanctification. Just because people are saved doesn't mean the sanctifying process doesn't have to be, and we don't have a right to tell them, to tell God he needs to drop his holiness because people can't come up to it. You know, God, that holy thing, Jesus, I mean, I want you to know that. Talk about dated. I mean, that's outdated. I mean, I thought people just don't do that any longer. I mean, come on, Jesus. Well, I mean, what is the holy thing anyhow? What's that all about? Holy is in my heart. You know, people say I can dress like an unclean something because I'm holy in my heart. But I want you to understand, I just want you to understand that we can't see your heart. We can only see attire. See, you know, you could tell me how sweet your heart is all day long. I can't see that. I can't read your heart, and if I do, I can't publish it, even if I read your heart. But your appearance publishes what's going on in your heart. Your words publish what's going on in your heart. Your appetites and entertainment publish what's going on in your heart. Everything that we see on the outside is publishing what's happening on the inside. And that's the way it is, because the things that are seen, the things that are unseen are clearly understood by the things that are seen. That's Bible. But see, I could talk Bible all day long because you know what? I'm in love with the author. And I fellowship with him all the time. And we hang out all the time. And yes, he does correct me. And when he does, I told you, I say one thing. I stand corrected. Jesus, please forgive me. I'm done. I'm not going to walk around for 15 years slapping myself with stripes. I'm going to alter that, and I'm going to explore my heart and remove that motivation or that inspiration from my heart. Sometimes I say to him, God, I don't know where that came from. Sometimes he said, I don't want to discuss it. Let's just stop. Oh, okay, then we'll just stop. How's that? We'll stop. I love being intimate with the Holy Ghost. I love it. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. for we have the mind of Christ. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. You know how much God talks about mind? So mentality must be a big part of our sanctification. Loving or leading. Now here's where it gets sticky. So many leaders can either love you or lead you, but they can't lovingly lead you. And so a leader has to be out front. And if your sheep are calling the shots, then you're not the leader. You're being led by a mass. That's mob leadership. And so you have got to make up your mind who you work for, who you serve. Now, I understand about church hurt. I've just heard some stuff about church hurt. I understand that, but you understand that church hurt is not the only thing that gets hurt. God gets hurt. Nobody wrote a book about God hurt. I haven't read that book. That hasn't been on a bestseller. You know, Jesus hurt. Holy Ghost hurt. We haven't read anything about that. And we do stuff to God all day long. We do things to God, and we do things to the Lord Jesus Christ that people on earth can sue each other for. And we said, well, he got. Why? Because we don't believe that he is. Those who come to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. You're never going to come to a God that you don't believe exists. So just because you go to his house doesn't mean you believe he owns it. Correcting or protecting. We have a whole other thing where we are always protecting God's sheep from God. From his righteousness, from his truth, we're always insulating them from who he is and how he is, what he feels, what he thinks, what he needs. We're always doing that. That's what this modern church is. It's the mother that protects the kids from the dad who is the only one who's going to be a disciplinarian. Okay, well, I'll do it because you know, I just want, But that's not how God works because, see, God has angels. Now, think about this. When Israel and God had their first real clash, and they had a couple, you know, you can't be with God in a class. It just comes with the territory. God is righteous, and he doesn't change. So while you're learning to change and while you're growing and appreciating his business, you will have tension with the Holy Ghost because God can't change. I am that I am. So Israel and God had tension. And so God got so hot with them because they kept doing stuff that he turned around and he said, listen, I'm going to send my angel ahead of you in the wilderness. He said, because I'm so hot, I'm liable to kill you along the way. And then all the gods will think I couldn't do what I said I was set out to do. So I'm going to send my angel ahead of you. Now, this is what I want you to get. He said, but don't act like because he's an angel, you can treat him any old kind of way. Because my name is in him. And he will not pardon you because I put a measure of myself in this angel to make sure that I am always treated properly with my people. So you see, God, these angels, they don't have issues with God. They really don't. You know, even devils don't have issues with God. They're on assignment. God hired them to do something. You know, they blew it. He repurposed them. And so they repurposed them as devils and darkness and adversary. That's what he did. You know, Satan is a repurposed cherubim. That's what he is. God just reassigned him. I mean, he couldn't kill him, so he reassigned him. He said, this is going to be great, so I need somebody that's going to give folks an option. So this is really good. And so he repurposed him. And so you need to recognize that God's invisible agents will not allow this planet to go under. They will wipe out hundreds of thousands of us. They will wipe out millions if they must, if God says, well, I don't care what it takes, keep my planet intact. I know we don't like hearing that, but this is sovereign God. This is not just saving Jesus. See, this is not just Savior Jesus. This is sovereign God who has to make sure that every promise he gave every seed and everything he wrote in his book for every seed that he gave life to happens. He cannot let his word fail. God cannot let his word fail. So you say, are you saying that God wrote all of this? If he repurposed a cherub to operate as his adversary, he had to take him into account. You know, you're fond of saying the devil took this person out. I need to know why the devil has so much authority over somebody that he can call you to throw away a 15, 20-year ministry. Because then I'm kind of like wondering, like, Samson, did the spirit of the Lord leave you and a distressing spirit took his place? I'm stuck. If the devil has that much power, you're praying to the wrong one. You need to jump sides while the jumping is good. Hallelujah. Based on apostle definition, I want to go into these. We just have a few more minutes, but I'm laying out something for you. I want you to roll with me. Are you all enjoying this? Are you still rolling with me? Because, you know, I need to know that. You know, I need some encouragement. Because you know this mouth is going to need some prayer. This mouth going to need some prayer. Y'all intercessors, please get on the wall for Dr. Bright. Prophets, hold me up. Hold me up. Because you're going to need the war for some stuff. For me, apostles, hey, y'all know, come on, we know. So I'm going to need you to pray with me. So I want to go into the apostles' definition, and every now and then I'll take us back to that. So this definition is based on Matthew 28, 18 to 20, the Great Commission, which was actually given to 11 apostles. You know, Judas died, and Matthias hadn't been installed, so only 11 apostles got this out of God's mouth directly. And they got it not from the Jesus that was incarnated. They got it from the Jesus that was raised from the dead. I know. I'm turning. Don't switch because I'm going there. And Acts 26:18. So if you can't see it, I'm going to read it. The two of them say, make disciples of all nations to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. And I like this one here, the one that's in the International Standard Version. I use them all. You will help them understand and turn them from darkness to light and from Satan's control to God so that their sins will be forgiven and they will receive a share among those who are sanctified by faith in me. Now, we know the Great Commission, go into all the world, go make disciples, rather, of all nations. Hallelujah. Go make disciples, disciple all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. We need to baptize them. So, you know, how do you baptize a nation? Did anybody ever say, how do you baptize a nation? He said, go and disciple a nation, which means discipline. Bring them into my disciplined way of life. Bring them into monotheism. Bring them into the one true God. That's what he meant. And so, but how do you baptize a nation? I'll leave that as a cliffhanger. We need a cliffhanger every now and then just to keep everybody interested. We talked about this before. Let me say it again. So a deity or a sovereign specially commissioned messenger, I want you to look at this and take a picture of it with your phone or something so you all know. So when you go to these meetings, they give you all those other meanings. You understand that those meetings cannot be found in Scripture. A deity or sovereign specially commissioned messenger delegated miraculous powers sent as its ambassador to overturn world strongholds, to establish its kingdom, and to deliver or return a nation, people, and possessions to its rightful God. Now, that's a powerful thing, so we're going to go through that in a minute. But I want you to understand that God has already told us what an apostle is. He didn't need us to go and reinvent it. He didn't need us to go and research it and come up with other stuff. The purpose for apostleship is always about God and nations and their people and possession. Write this down. God and nations and their people and possessions. The Great Commission, go disciple nations. You see how that's working? Acts 26. Turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God. You ever notice it didn't say from God's power to Satan's and back to God? Because people start out under Satan's control. That's what Adam bought for us. We'll thank him for it. No, but we won't because I ain't going where he went. Anyway. So, authentic apostleship. Come on, guys. You're getting ready. Get ready. Get your pen out. You're going to like this. You're going to like it. Number one, a sovereign's commission. You have to have a commission. Why? You have to be sent to achieve something. Not just missions, you take something. Commission, you achieve something. Oh, hallelujah. Number two, a commission message. God starts with a mission, a message. What is the commission message? Mine is New Era Apostleship Restitution. Mine is Acts 26:18. We'll go ahead. It's a taken, it's a given that the Great Commission, Matthew 28:18-20, is for all of us. But mine is specifically to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God. I'm very clear on that. Hallelujah. Next one, delegated miraculous powers. God has to have powers that will overpower his enemy, not yours. A bullet to take out a human, but a bullet's not going to take out a devil. I don't care what the supernatural show says. You're going to need a little bit more than a little metal bullet to take out an invisible, immaterial being. All right, so God has to give you power over all the power of the enemy. We have got to have a power, and when I train my apostles, this is what I let them know, that there is a phrase in one of the commentators that said, apostles are endowed with proprietary powers and miracles. That means miracles that are specifically proprietary to that mantle and its office. And we'll talk about that in the future. I'm getting there. I'm heading that way. All right? Ambassadorship credentials. That power, that message, that commission, your changed life, the impossible happened where it shouldn't. Now all of those are the ambassadorship credentials. A mandate to overturn or take over. What is God sending you to overturn and take over? I mean, I realize that we got a whole lot of young folks running around, man. You know what they're doing? They are literally apostling you to culture. That's why they look like culture. They're apostling you to the same gods that Jesus took out. See, it just boggles my mind. And, I've got to do this because this is what's written. Paul made Ephesus give up their cultural things. They had to bring their curious arts and burn them. Us, we enshrine them. We look like the world. And they're trying to tell the world they need God. I don't know about you, but I don't think they're buying into that. But, you know, do I know? Something to establish or reestablish. And the last one, number 7. Objects or products to deliver or return. Objects or products to deliver or return. What are we returning? A nation, people, possessions to their rightful God. A nation, people, possessions to their rightful God. You cannot bring people into an inheritance if you haven't recovered. When God said brought his people out of Egypt, he brought them out with the national treasure. They had the entire national treasure. Why? Because you can't start a nation broke. You need to have a little something. Oh, hallelujah. So I'm going to give you, we have a couple of minutes. Can you see the acronym on there? Can they see that? They can't. Oh, okay. Well, it's an acronym for an apostle. An apostle, A-P-O-S-T-L-E, a person ordained and sent to legitimize God's ecclesia. A person ordained and sent to legitimize God's ecclesia. Ambassadors, apostleship, ambassadors. Can you see that? That's a little bigger. Come on, I made it nice. Now, guys, work with me. I'm doing my best. All right? Ambassadors, pioneers, overseers, strategists, teachers, legislators, embassies, strongholds, healers, institutionists, and principalities. Commission, I'll read it. And listen, if you all go to my website, I will give you the next slide so you can have these acronyms. Everybody that goes to my website, you're going to have to go, and if you fill out the little thing and click the button, we'll let you get this one page. See how nice that is? That's wonderful because I love you guys. Commission, Christ's official messengers mandated to install, settle, secure the institutions of his eternal nation. Christ's official messengers mandated to install, settle, secure the institutions of his eternal nation. Why did I say that? Why am I doing that? Why did I do this? Again, it's wonderful to say that the apostle is a function, but we don't know what those functions are. An office is a position of trust. What's entrusted to us, duties and responsibilities of a person who is putting us in power. So to see this three right here, those three, that's what you will get if you want. You go to my website, drpaulaaprice.com. Now give Prophet Ashley and Prophet Adi a little bit of time because, see, y'all be serious. Ashley's looking at me real funny, and you know what? Don't care. That's why she's good at what she does, and I'm good at what I do, and she always comes through. She always comes through. And so, as a result, apostleship, this is what I want you to say. Dr. Price told me that if I go to her website, I can get the Apostle 360 guide. It's Apostleship 360. You see it up there, Apostleship 360? You go, you can get all of those, and trust me, if you do your homework with that, you will understand what an apostle is in your life. You will understand as an apostle what you're supposed to be about. You will understand what God is measuring you on, and you'll understand what his invisible kingdom is backing you on. All right, Prophet Ashley has pulled out her toys and all of that, so we are going to let her get to her wonderful little station. You want to stand there? Yeah. You don't want to stand with me?
I do want to stand with
Come
you.
Come on and stand with me. Come on.
We have fun things to talk about tonight. The ABCs of Apostleship campaign. What's the inspiration behind Tuesday nights? You can go to abccampaign.org. This is how you can participate. This is how you can participate in the ABCs of Apostleship campaign, spreading this to your church, your ministry, and your community. Here's a site. Hopefully you can see that. ABCs, that's abccscampaign.org. abccscampaign.org. Go to the site. The first thing you're going to see is a free ebook, How to Become an Apostolic Christian. I'll tell you what. Tonight is a night of freebies.
Aha!
Yeah, go. Get your freebie. You can also purchase ABCs 1 plus ABCs 1 workbook and ABCs 2 while you're there. Now, it gets better. I know you're wondering, how can it possibly get better? Again, ABCS, abccscampaign.org. Make sure. You get your free ebook, like we said, and you can download your promo materials for your website. We have a couple banners up there. You just right-click on it. We have all the instructions for how you can do that, and you can get it on that site as well. That is free, and this part is not free, but the promo materials and the ebook are free. And this part, you can get your starter kit. Hey, I know some of you, we saw somebody on there tonight say, Dr. Price, I just found my new church.
Good.
Okay. Welcome.
Welcome
to the congregation of the mighty, okay? So you found your new church. Well, why don't you join us in this campaign? Get your starter kit on abccscampaign.org, abccscampaign.org. Get book one, your workbook, plus book two, two bonus audios, and an article for only $65. All of those bundled together for a price just for you for your starter kit. So you know what you're talking about when you bring apostleship into your region, church, family.
Mm-hmm.
Really, Devos? I mean, really, you can just do whatever you want with this. There are no limits to apostolic Christians because there are no limits to Jesus Christ.
That's right.
And those are the ABCs. Again, abccscampaign.org. That is the primary push for this evening. We want you to go there and later on this evening, because you see, this slide is still here. So we have to get it from here to Prophet Adia to the website. So we need a little bit of time. It's like an hour. Okay. So Prophet Adia can be like, oh, Lord, I can get it done. She's quick.
She's
but
good.
But she still needs the file to make it happen. So you're going to go to two places tonight. DrPaulaAPrice.com to get your power slide right there, and then abccscampaign.org. And the whole site, the page is there, and it will take you to buy your resources and materials there. Share the link.
Mm-hmm.
Share the link. Share the banners right here. Download your promo banners and let the work do itself for you.
Well, I thank you. We only have a couple of more minutes. Again, don't forget to get your copy, which you will get at the site, at the abccscampaign.org site. Make sure you get your book. It is a great tool. We're adding things to the site always to help you and coach you. If you're talking about a disciple, we'll tell you how to bring me in. If you want me to be a part of helping you and your region shift, make sure you go to their site to find out how we can partner on that project, because I'm ready to go. I'm ready to make some apostolic Christians. Last thing I want to say, see you Thursday morning at 11 a.m. on the Paula Price Show. Thursday night, Prophetic Ed, we are going into it Thursday night. Please don't let your prophets and prophetic people, don't let your church and your seers and dreamers and all of that miss this. This is going to be awesome. On Thursday night, 8 p.m., right here with Periscope and Facebook and Blog Talk Radio, and oh, wait, I got to tell you Thursday about my TV show that I'm starting. I almost forgot. I won't have time to tell you tonight, but we will tell you Thursday about my TV show. You know, I've been trying to take this larger. Some of your prayers are being answered, so make sure you check in and do that. Until then, listen, guys, I really do thank God for you. I love you. God bless you. Hey, be smart and be powerful. Until Thursday. Are we off?
We are off.